Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armaline.
Now stretch your hands toward me and say, Jesus, would you help him? Come on, say it out loud. Say, Jesus, would you help him? Help him put his thoughts together so this can come out clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, an interesting thing happened while we were worshiping. Obviously, electricity went out. Did anybody notice what we did when the darkness came in? Not only did we not skip a beat, actually, you guys jumped to another level. Yeah, you got louder. I thought, man, that's a perfect analogy for where I'm going today. It's so interesting that when times are tough, our human nature is thankfully to jump in deeper, to help more. The problem is that we seem to only know how to do that in the bad times. We got to learn how to do that in the good times, right? Because it's funny, when the power came back on, we all got quiet again. Man, we had a good moment of breakthrough. There's Cadence in the house. She did a great job. You know, she was helping us clap, and that was great. She did a really great job. So I want to encourage you, that's the posture that we should always be taking, right? That's the posture we should take. Two weeks ago, we talked about we got to land this plane, and I believe that God wants us to land this plane in 2022 and do greater things than we've ever done before. How many want to say amen to that? All right, you got to help me preach today. You know, one of the sentences that we use is occupy till I come. It's written, I believe still written over our the room there, our prayer room. And I explain that occupy does not mean that we just wait, you know, we just sit there, but we are actually productive and producing. We are moving forward. And so I want you to turn your Bibles with me. We're going to look at one scripture before we move on. We're going to talk about transforming our minds, but I want you to look at a scripture first. Go with me to, let me just find it real quick. This time I have to find it real quick. Go to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 1, verses 7 to 8. What I want to do today is hopefully shift our understanding. Sean gave the word about a new season. I believe there's a new season upon us to begin to look at, the word in a fresh way. Our goal is to forge mighty ones to walk in the way of Jesus. And my determination personally and corporately for all of us is begin to look at the scriptures and begin to say, Lord, where have we maybe not walked in the way of Jesus? We've walked more in the way of religion. We've walked more in the way of culture, our upbringing that's not always godly, not always correct. So, Lord, get us back to the way of Jesus. Interesting, I was reading this. This is 1 Corinthians 1, 7 to 8. And I was reading this in my quiet time the other day. And it says, now you have every spiritual gift that you need as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a real, a lot of people seem to, in the body of Christ, be doom-oriented. They really want to see the end here. I don't know why that is, but, you know, we know that Jesus will return one day, but we seem to want it to be now. But I don't know about you, but I got a lot of people that I love that I want to see come into the kingdom. Anybody else? But we just really get caught in this, and, you know, the Bible clearly says that Jesus will return. It's interesting, this is Paul writing this, and he says to the Corinthian church, as you eagerly wait for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many years ago was that? 2,000 plus years ago. They were eagerly waiting for the return of Christ 2,000 years ago. It's been a long time. You know, people say, you know, is the end near? Well, we're certainly closer than we were 2,000 years ago, but we don't know when it's going to be. But it's interesting, the words that they use, it says, wait, eagerly wait for the return. So you know me, I like to look up words. This is actually the Hebrew, Greek. The word waiting for means assiduously and patiently waiting for. See, I love to learn words because I'm like, assiduously, what on earth does that mean? Assiduously means this, if you don't know, because I don't know. Constant in application or effort. Working diligently at a task, persevering, industrious, and meticulous. I'll read that again. This is what the word waiting for. This is out of the Greek. This is how they define it. Constant in application or effort, working diligently at a task, persevering, industrious, or meticulous. So really what he was saying is, he wasn't saying, wait on a chair for Christ's return. He's like, man, get busy. Amen. Amen. Constant in application. Constantly get busy. Work diligently at what you're called to do. Persevere and be industrious and be meticulous. For some reason, the North American Christianity, and it's interesting because I've been studying different theologians from different areas, and there seems to be an understanding in North America that's not always understood or not always thought of in other areas. And so we could be really like, this is so bad, the end is near. And I'm going to share with you in a few minutes, it's actually not as bad as you think. There are amazing things happening. And there are times in history that were way worse than what we live in right now. Way, way worse. It only takes my dad was born 1935, so he was a very small child when World War II was around. That was a bad time. If you were in Europe, today would look like Club Med. You know, sometimes I have to check my heart because I don't like being locked down any more than you do, but when I'm enjoying my house, the heat, Brian Bondi, we didn't have a chance to come together and celebrate. We will do that on a Wednesday soon when this season passes. But he wrote in his the cleanse part about simple things that we need to be thankful for, like toothpicks. I thought that's true. You know, a toothpick is really handy. When you don't have one, boy, you need one. You don't think of it until you need one, right? It's like nobody thinks of the people back there doing sound until the lights and power go out. And then what do we all do? Now we're thinking about them. He said about elastic bands on underwear. I'm like, dude, that is so true. It seems weird, but when it gets, worn out and they fall down, you're like, that is so true. For some reason, for unknown reasons, I was in the bathroom the other day and I thought, thank you, Lord, for having bathrooms in the house. Has anybody ever thought of that? I was watching something the other day, and they had a bathroom. It was an outhouse. I'm like, dear Jesus, it would be so cold right now. Like, anyway, I will leave that alone. But we are seemingly bent on thinking this is terrible. It's not great. But I'll tell you one thing. If nothing else, today proved that when it is a little darker, we seem to get a little louder. And if we can't do it in the good seasons, well, we might as well do it in the not good seasons, right? All right, you tracking with me, guys? Okay, so we're gonna talk a little bit. Let's very well known scripture. Turn to Romans. You guys know this. Romans 12:2. We're gonna look at words that if you've been with us for a while, you know. And if you're new, this is a great time to kind of just catch up. Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be transformed. Let your mind be transformed. Let it be renewed. And if we're going to enter a new season, our minds have to be renewed. So again, I'm asking the Lord for you and for me, Lord, renew my mind so I can read the word and see what you are doing and how you are doing it. Because I want to see in this season, we got some great things going to be coming up. I'm not going to explain it today. I'll explain it hopefully next week. But I'm excited, and we're going to see people come into the kingdom in 2022, I believe more than ever before. I think I said it last week or the week before. Maybe I said it in the media. I don't know. But I would love to see more people come into the kingdom in our ministry than altogether throughout all the years in 2022. Why not? Why not? But listen, it's not going to happen if we just sit and wait for it to happen. See, again, that waiting means to partake, to co-labor, to be a part of what's happening. And a lot of times, I think we get prophetic words and we eagerly wait for the prophetic word to be fulfilled, but God gives us a foretelling of what's going to happen, and he wants us to get busy to see it happen. Not eagerly wait on our tushes in a chair, hopefully that one day they're all going to flood through the door. No, you're going to leave the door. You're going to go through the door so you can go minister to people. And we're hopefully going to be training you better and equipping you better. But in Romans 12, 2, we know that word transform, or maybe you've not heard this, but that word transform is metamorpho. There's a better way to say that, but that's the best way. It's where we get the word metamorphosis from. It's that transformation. And it's actually only used a few places in the Bible. It's used here, transformation, renewing of your mind. It's used in, I'll give you the scriptures if you want to look them up. It is also used, Matthew 17, 2, Mark 9, 2, and 2 Corinthians 3, 18. Four places it's used. I want to read those. You don't have to turn to them. Matthew 17, 2 says, and he was transfigured. This is talking about Jesus when he went onto the mountaintop with Peter, James, and John. He invited the three up, and then God spoke, and it says that he was transfigured. Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face shone. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was as white as the light. So it's describing this moment that Jesus is there. God speaks to him, and his face shines, and he is glowing, and he is full of light. And that word, he is transfigured, is the same word as transforming your mind. It's this renewing. It's literally describing that when you get into the word and when you begin to cry out to God, and you begin to say, Jesus, transform my mind, you will be transfigured. We know that because another scripture says, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, so all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed in his glorious image. And again, that word changed is the same word transformed, metamorphosis or metamorpho. It's literally saying as you wait on the Lord, as you eagerly study the scriptures, as you cry out to him, and we're going to look at the word repent, as you repent and you begin to do this, you will be changed from glory to glory. But we have to be careful in this season that we don't look to culture. We don't look to even religious traditions, that we begin to go, Lord, and not every religious tradition is wrong, but sometimes we get a hold of a tradition and we stick so close to it, we're missing what God's doing. So if you're sitting there going, man, the world's getting worse and everybody's, you know, it's about to end, and Jesus is like, no, it's not yet. You need to get busy. We could miss it. It's like, and I'm going to go into this another day. You know, revival is simply us Christians functioning the way we're called to. That's all revival is. We call it revival when we finally, and it's funny, I want to say the word wake up, but that's such an overused word right now. When we finally come to understand that who we are in Christ and we begin to function that way, that's revival. Because things start to change. And we go, oh my gosh, God's doing something. No, God, you're simply becoming who you're called to be. We need to be transformed in our thinking. So we could easily wait for a prophetic word that tells us another thing, another revival is going to happen. God's coming. You know how many words we have about God coming? He's like, I've given you all the words you need. You now become who you're called to be. You now step up into what God's doing. All right, so we want to be transformed in our minds. We don't want to think the same way. We want to literally let God begin to let his light shine on us. Let's look at the word as well. We're going to look at the word repent. Turn to Matthew 3, verses 1 to 2. Matthew 3, 1 to 2. And I'll read 4. You can flip after this. But Matthew 3, 1 to 2 says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4:17 says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Have you ever had one of your children get caught and begin to wail because they know that they're caught? We had a time when our kids were small. It seems like yesterday, but it was not, because our kids are older now. That's all right. We were in Home Hardware, and they were being little stinkers, touching everything they shouldn't touch. And I said to them, I said, if you guys do this one more time, I have to take you home, and I have to discipline you. You have to get a spanking. And so, sure enough, they did it one more time. And I was in that moment where I had to go, what do I do? True to my word? Or do I, you know, I'm going to count to three. One, two, two and a half, two and three. You know, what am I going to do? So I'm like, no, I'm going to be true to my word. So we pack them up. And at that point, they're young enough, but yet old enough to start connecting their dots. We're packing up. We're going, uh-oh. So we get home. And the kids' bedrooms, we had two in one room, but I think I put one in our bedroom. So each one was in their own bedroom. And, you know, slight tap on the butt, but man, I'll tell you, the crying. But what was interesting is when one got it and heard the crying, the next one cried even more. And the next one cried even more, like hysteria. I felt so, But it's interesting because we can cry and wail and do all the things like that. You know, we can be so fearful and, oh my gosh. And you know what? We can never be transformed and truly repent. We could just be afraid of punishment. But this repent that God's talking about, it's interesting. The word is metaneo. Interesting, it's metamorpho and metaneo, meta. But that word means to change one's mind. You know, often we think of repentance as, Lord, forgive me, I repent and I'm going to do a 180. But you can, you know, Bill Johnson says the 180 side of things is actually the effect of the repentance. You know, we don't want to do this anymore, but not in order not to do it, we have to have a change of mind. We have to have a metamorphosis in our thinking. Because if we're just afraid in that moment, how many know that later on, somehow we forget about that fear and we go back to doing the same thing? It's only when we begin to go, you know what? I understand this is wrong. I understand I shouldn't be doing this. And now I'm going to change my behavior and my thoughts and turn away from this. It is a change of thought. It's interesting, that word meta. We're hearing that word meta. Maybe you aren't, but if you're in the Facebook world. Facebook recently changed Facebook to the company name is now Meta. And now we have this thing called the metaverse. You know, there's all these terms, and that term meta, it's this idea that there's something beyond, there's more. And it's interesting is meta also means most effective tactics available. I thought, is it possible that we have a war going on? Because, you know, Facebook, there's a lot of transforming of minds that happens on Facebook, not for the better. Is it possible that there is a meta, there is a transforming of the mind that is trying to happen in multiple ways, and the body of Christ needs to also be helping people transform their minds? Really do believe that. But to give you two scriptures I want to look at. The first one is a no doubt in my mind, okay? The second one, I'm not saying there's a doubt in my mind, but, you know, it'll be different from what you've heard. So I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles. So we have to change the way we think, change our minds. I'd really like to, if you have your Bibles or your phone, take it out, 2 Chronicles. What we're trying to do in this season as we ask, Lord, how do we, because you are the mighty ones, we're training you up. It's our job as ministers, equippers of the gospel, to equip you for the work of the ministry. We want to be people that eagerly wait for the return of the Lord, meaning eagerly get going. We want to be those that get out there and see people get saved, right? Right? All right. We also want to go, Lord, transform our minds that we think differently, because there's a lot of things, in my opinion, that happens in the body of Christ for all of us, but as a whole, this meta, this beyond, this more, we're seeing that I don't believe the body of Christ is actually functioning like Jesus. Down the road, I want to just share a little bit about covenants, but do you realize that you are no longer under the old covenant? You are in the new covenant. Tell your neighbor you're in the new covenant. Just like though, you know, the Israelites came out of Egypt, and when they came out of Egypt, it's funny the expressions we use. I'm not sure that's how they came out. They came out of Egypt, they parted through the Red Sea, and they had to take 40 years to get Egypt out of them. They had to have their minds transformed. It's fascinating when you look at all the laws that God institutes, and we look at that from our day, and we're like, man, that is so legalistic. It's interesting. It's not as legalistic when you realize what they came out of. They were trying to get them cleaned up and healthy living. We'll go into that another day. But I really feel like sometimes we are in a new covenant, but we are functioning out of the old covenant. It's kind of like the Israelites. They were in a new place with Jesus, or a new place with Moses, but they were still functioning like they were in Egypt at times, to the point where they're like, you know what, this is terrible. Let's go back to Egypt. What? You want to go back to Egypt? And so we have to be careful that we don't live in a new covenant, but actually function out of an old covenant. Let me give you an example. 2 Chronicles. How many are there? Okay. 2 Chronicles, thank you, 24. We have this story. We're not going to go into the whole story, but we have one of the kings. The king is Joash. And Joash is a good king for a season. Joash, with the help of the priest Jehoiada, Joash begins to reform and does amazing things and begins to tear down the idols and all that. It's interesting that it says that in verse 15, Jehoiada grew old and was full of days, and he died. So the priest that was helping Joash dies. This priest was very instrumental. So Jehoiada dies. And they buried him in the city, this is verse 16, of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and his house. Now, after the death of Jehoiada, the leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. So the leaders come, they bow down to the king, and the king listens to them. It says, therefore, they left the house of the Lord, God of their fathers, and served wooden images and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem because of their trespass. Okay, so they turn away from God. So it was Joash the king who was very influenced by Jehoiada. Jehoiada dies, so they begin to turn back to all the things that, and even Joash, he's the one that actually tore this all down, but they go back. It's crazy. Judgment comes upon them. This is old covenant. And the new covenant's different. We're not going to go there, but this is old covenant. Let's jump to verse 19 says, yet he sent prophets, sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not listen. Verse 20, then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada. So this is the priest's son. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, who stood above the people, and said to them, thus says God, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has forsaken you. Verse 21, so they conspired against him. At the command of the king, they stoned him with stones in the court of the house of the Lord. It's crazy. They're stoning him for him trying to get him back to where they were. This is you. I'm telling you, don't stone me, okay? Trying to get us back. Little aside, joking. Verse 22, then Joash the king did not remember the kindness which Jehoiada, his father, had done to him, but he killed his son. And as he died, this is my point, as Zechariah died, the Lord look on it and repay. This is what he cries out. The Lord look on it and repay. Another version says, may the Lord see what they're doing and avenge my death. This is Old Testament. This is Old Covenant. His last words as he's looking upon these people, Lord, look at what they're doing to me and repay what they have done. Have vengeance on my death. Turn your Bibles to Acts. Pastor Gary went here last week. New covenant. Jesus comes and shows a better way. I've heard the new covenant called the better covenant. In Acts 7, verse 59, it's interesting. Stephen gives this history. He goes through and he explains exactly what has happened. And it's a fascinating story as you look, but they are not pleased. You got to remember, these are the Pharisees and the Sadducees that have studied the Word of God, that are waiting and eagerly anticipating the return of the Messiah, and miss it. It even says in here that they take their coats, and this is the fascinating part, and Pastor Gary talked about it. They take their coats before they're going to stone Stephen, and they lay them at the feet of Saul. Saul, as we know, is Paul, but he's the one that knew all the scripture. He was so trained in all this and yet could not see Jesus. Why do I say that? Because if we don't have a transforming of our minds, we won't see Jesus either. We'll read scripture with an old covenant terminology and try to function in new covenant with an old covenant terminology. And what we're doing is we're creating a mess upon the earth because people don't understand. We talk about Jesus, but they don't get it. You know, Gandhi said this. Gandhi said, I love your Jesus, but I don't love your Jesus followers. Because he saw this hypocrisy that he could not, he read about Jesus. And he saw how Jesus acted and he looked upon the people and he's like, you guys don't seem to match. What's going on? In Acts, it says, as they stoned him, Stephen prayed, look at the difference. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He fell to his knees shouting, this was his last words. Lord, may the Lord, Lord, don't charge them with this sin. And with that, he died. Zechariah, old covenant. Lord, avenge my death. Stephen, new covenant. Lord, have mercy on them. Forgive them of their sins. They don't know what they're doing. You could be like, well, this is different. No, it is still the people of God that are misled, that don't have a transformed mind, that are doing this. Can you imagine the people of God in the time of Joash? They had just served God. And then they literally fall back into idol worship and they kill Zechariah. And Zechariah wants vengeance. And yet Stephen's like, Lord, I know that they don't know you yet. I know that they're not accepting you yet, but Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Man, old covenant, new covenant, totally different way of doing things. You seen that? And I'm concerned, we've talked a lot about this. That's why I want to be like, Lord, show us the way that you walked. Because I don't want to walk the way of my emotions. I don't want to walk the way of my thoughts. I don't want to walk the way of sometimes what I think we should do. I want to walk the way that you walk. And I know in this season, it means that I have to get my heart right. Bill Johnson said this. The renewed mind is a result of a surrendered heart. A renewed mind, our minds being renewed is a result of our hearts being surrendered. And sometimes that means, Lord, I got to surrender my pain, my frustration, my agitation, my wanting things to go a certain way, my, you know, all that. I have to surrender and say, Lord, you take over and you reveal. Just like you transformed Jesus, you transfigured. He was glowing. Lord, I want my mind to look like that. I want it to be so renewed that I can see and read the word in a new covenant understanding so I can function like you did. Because if we do that, that will be revival. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah. This may stretch you a little bit, but that's okay. okay to be stretched. Isaiah 60, we know well. I'm going to say this with a preface. I read this the other day. I never thought about this ever in my life. But I thought, Lord, this makes sense to me. A lot of times we use Isaiah 60. We use it for both good and evil. Because we see that it says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And then we look at, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth. So there's an excitement where we go, Lord, you're going to shine and rise above us. But then we often say that will happen when deep darkness covers the earth. You know, like today, when the lights go out and it gets dark, we seem to arise. And so we have this mindset, we need a transforming in the mind that our minds go to, well, if it gets dark, if it gets bad, therefore you will arise. And then we just feed into that it's got to get dark. It's interesting. So we'll finish reading that. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Turn to Luke with me, please. That's why it's good to bring your Bibles or your phones if you have your Bible app. I'm trying to find Luke myself. Here we go. We're going to look at Luke 23, verse 44. So it's an Old Testament scripture that we just looked at in Isaiah, and we want to think, like, that's our mindset, that we have to think it's going to get dark. But look at Isaiah 23, verse 44. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. You read that. Isaiah says there's going to come a time when deep darkness covers the earth. Luke says, now it was about the sixth hour and there was darkness all over the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. The author I was reading said, is it possible that we look at Isaiah to look for a future darkness when that darkness actually happened in Luke, when deep darkness covered the earth? Because then it goes on to say that the Lord will arise upon you. And what happens in 3 days? Jesus rises again. It's a new covenant. And we begin to see nations come to the glory of Jesus, including the Gentiles. I thought, boy, I never connected those dots before, but that's powerful. Now, again, it's interesting. A different perspective, because we're looking at darker, darker, darker. This theologian I was listening to the other day who has done a ton of research, he's both a theologian, a pastor, and he studies trends. And he said, you know, with all that's going on, I really had to seek the Lord and try to understand. And he said, the more I studied history, he said, you know, I realized that the last 30 years, we have lived in a glorious season. We lived in a season where we haven't had a full world war. We haven't had things that have happened in the past. He says, but if you look throughout history, the last 30 years have actually been abnormal, not the normal. And we're living in a season that's actually more normal than it is abnormal, but because we've never lived in this season, it feels abnormal. Did you follow that? Throughout the earth, if you look at history, if you look at the Bible alone, you got kings that rise, kings that fall. You have nations that take over other nations. You have people that know the Lord, and then they don't know the Lord, and they rebel from the Lord. It's just this cycle that we see. We've had the Dark Ages. We've had world wars. We've had plagues. We've had all these things. But we've had 30 amazing years where that has not really taken place. We've had smaller wars. His point, though, was that we think this is abnormal, but really throughout history, the season that we're in is actually more normal. There's been more turmoil throughout history than there has been peace. We've lived in a really good season. Now, his point is, I don't know where it's going next, but the point is that we can't look at everything as it gets bad, must be done. And Isaiah, we take that scripture, we say, oh, deep darkness covers the earth, but is it possible deep darkness already covered the earth so the Lord could arise and shine so that we could step into a new covenant so that we can see the world transformed? And I think what we're waiting for, I think what we're waiting for is another prophetic word. We're waiting for things to get darker. We're waiting for Jesus to return. He's like, let's do it. Let's get to work. Let's get the harvest. You know, people have prophesied a billion soul harvest. It's not just going to happen because we hope it happens. It's going to happen because of people say, you know what? My neighbor need Jesus. They need Jesus. You know, I wrote, you know, a lot of times, if you study organizations, you need to know the what and why and how. You know, the what? Jesus wants his kingdom to come to earth. That's why he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He wasn't saying, repent and just wail over all your sins and then get up and act the same. He's like, no, repent, change the way you think, because I want the kingdom to come. And then he says, how do we pray? He says, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's what he wants. He wants his kingdom to come. What does it look like? In Isaiah 61, he clearly says, and Jesus proclaims it, he wants to come and heal the sick. He wants to set the captives free. He wants to bring health to those that are not healthy. That's what he wants to do. How does he want to do it? Through us. Through us. I'm going to give you some good news. You ready for some good news? All right. This may be hard, but listen, this may be hard to even comprehend. So the question is it getting darker? I'm going to read this. This is not my history that I, this was somebody else that did all this study. He said, many average Christians have no optimistic view of the future because they have a lack of perspective regarding the past. When they look back, they think they are seeing the good old days. How many have ever said that? Man, do you remember the good old days? It's interesting. I think that, and lately I've just been drawn to movies of history. I'm like, those don't seem like the good old days. I'm going to show you. Listen. However, with a better grasp on history, we will see that God has been steadily progressing his kingdom forward. To see the improvement, let's lift ourselves to a higher perspective. So we're going to, I'm reading this, okay? This is not mine. We're going to take a higher perspective because that's what it takes. Right now, we're in our own little perspective, but let's climb above from which we can look over the course of history. We know what life is like today, but let's compare it to the conditions of society in the past. Start by taking a snapshot of what life was like in the United States 200 years ago. In the early 1800s, there were about 5 million people who had immigrated or who were descendants of immigrants. About 20% of them were slaves. The age of sexual consent in many states was 9 to 12 years old. 9 to 12 years old. Abortion was legal throughout most of the 19th century, and records tell us that over 1/5 of all pregnancies were aborted, with Michigan having the highest rate at 34%. We look at it as a new thing. It's been around for a long time. Is it wrong? Absolutely. How are we going to change it? That's the question. Prostitution in New York City was so commonplace, with approximately one prostitute for every 64 men. The mayor of Savannah estimated that his city had one for every 39 men. Tens of thousands of Native Americans were murdered or forced off their lands. Thousands of Chinese people who were brought in to serve as forced laborers. Murder in this time was commonplace. Alcoholism was higher. Men were allowed to beat their wives as long as they didn't maim or kill them. How many feel like today's a little bit nicer? Seems a little shinier. I look at the slavery and what God has done over the years. It's hard to fathom that slave owners often were Christians with a darkened mind not to comprehend what was happening. That's why we need our minds renewed, because they could beat a slave on Monday, head to church on Sunday. Let's go back even further in time and take a snapshot of what the whole world looked like 2,000 years ago when Jesus was a child. The Roman Empire dominated civilization and centered on Europe, the Middle East, and North. This is what Jesus grew up. This is his growing up. This is what society was like. So sometimes we think, could we ever change? Somebody asked me, you don't really think things can change. Well, if I don't really think things can change, then how did Jesus do it? He started with one, then he ministered to 12. And it just kept multiplying. In Italy, approximately 40% of the population consisted of slaves. Throughout the empire, homosexuality was commonplace, especially between masters and slaves. Infanticide was usually practiced on the deformed and the weak. Sometimes it was practiced for no other reason than bearing a female child. Most of the Roman and Greek people worshipped many gods, such as Jupiter, Juno, and Neptune. Human beings were routinely tortured to death or mauled by wild animals in the Roman arenas. That's what it was like when Jesus was growing up. Darker times have been on this earth, right? You want some good news now? You're like, please, dear Lord. Every 25 minutes. When I was a kid in Sunday school, this is not me again. I'm reading this. I was really impressed that 3,000 people were saved on the day of Pentecost. Anybody else think, man, that is amazing. 3,000 people in the kingdom. That's exciting. And you think, could that ever happen again? That adds up very fast when you have that many people. Did you know that it happens every 25 minutes right now around the world that 3,000 people come into the kingdom? Every 25 minutes, 3,000 people come into the kingdom. That's pretty encouraging. So by tomorrow morning, there will be 175,000 more Christians than there are today. That means no matter what, on a rotten day, yeah, that's awesome. On a rotten day, if you have a rotten day, no matter how many things go haywire, when the sun comes up tomorrow, you will have 175 new brothers and sisters in Christ in 230 nations around the world. That's really positive news. We're not talking about that a whole lot. One example of how these numbers can happen, I'm going to post this. We can't show YouTube videos all the time. I'm going to post this on our Facebook site because I looked it up. Incredible, okay? In Lagos, Nigeria, in November 2000, Reinhard Bonnke, anybody ever heard of Reinhard Bonnke? He's now gone to be with the Lord. Reinhard Bonnke held the largest crusade in the world. His question was, how can this happen? How do we have this many people coming into the kingdom? During the 6 days of his crusade, 6 days and nights, almost 6 million people came. And 3,400,000 registered decisions for Christ. 1,093,745 of them came to the Lord on the very last night. And you think, how is this even possible? I'm going to post the video. I've never seen people like that. It is like you can't see other than people. That's all you see is people. It's absolutely incredible to see them worshiping, to see them giving their lives to Jesus and coming into the kingdom. How on earth did they do that? Oh, by the way, they had incredible amount of miracles. They had 1,000 physicians there checking to make sure these miracles were legit. They trained, prior to this, 30,000 ushers and 200,000 counselors to get ready for the event. So it's interesting that in our world, in North America, we're seeing the church decline. But in other places in the world, they're seeing explosions of Christianity. I have to ask myself, have we gotten focused on the wrong things? And as a church, I want to let you know, this is my focus. We want to see people come into the kingdom. We want to see them discipled, trained, and equipped. And we want to see you sent to go see more people come into the kingdom to become trained, equipped, and sent. And we want to train ourselves and you to walk with the renewing of our minds to say, how did Jesus walk? Well, what I read today, it helps me understand that when I am really, really frustrated, there's been times when I want to just do to people that have hurt me. And I'm like, Lord, that is not how you walked. I think we've all had moments where we're like, Lord, just would you get this person? And I don't mean Jesus, like get him for you. I mean like get him. Come on, you've all thought it. Maybe you've prayed it. You know, we joke around like I'm going to give him the fivefold ministry. And yet, you know, we look at that. Zechariah cried out, Lord, vengeance. But Stephen cried out, Lord, mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So as a church, this is where we're focused. This is where we're going. We want to see people come into the kingdom. And I want every day to say, Lord, am I not walking like you? And if I'm not walking like you, renew my mind I want my mind to be transfigured and transformed like you did on that mountain so I can think like you. We are supposed to. We are in our DNA as new creations, new believers in a new covenant. We are supposed to have the mind of Christ. But Romans is written in a new covenant period, which means that we can get saved and still think like the old. That's why Colossians goes, hey, take off, put away, turn away from all these. And Colossians and Ephesians both say, by the renewing of your mind. It doesn't come just from coming to the front, which we haven't been able to do for a while. And you know what? Part of me is like, great, let's do it on our own. It comes from sitting before the Lord, getting the word and going, Lord, show me what this really means. Jesus walked the earth and literally walked completely different than everybody else before him. How do we know that? He brought sinners near him. He brought Samaritans near him. He brought women near him. He had people that should have been stoned, the woman caught in adultery, and he totally flipped that. He showed us a totally different way to walk. So if you don't have people near you that aren't Christians, we're doing something wrong. Because if all we have near us are people that are saved, that tells me we're not attracting people like Jesus did. Because when Jesus walked, everybody wanted to be near him. Most people today want to be so far away from Christians because they're tired of our rhetoric. What if we just got Jesus filled up inside of us and said, Lord, let's do it the way you do it. I don't know what this looks like. I'm not talking about going back into sin. I'm talking about being in front of them and not judging, but showing a life that they go, I want that. I want what you have. I want a marriage like you have. I want a relationship with my kids like you have. Why are you so full of joy? It's dark out. Yeah, no, it's been darker. I'm full of joy because of the Lord. Amen? Please stand. $1 million coming into the kingdom in one night. Tell your neighbor, that's wild. $1 million people. Gosh, if we could train up 200,000 people to be counselors for us. If we could have 1,000 physicians. It's fun to think about. So, Lord, I thank you that you are transforming our minds. And Lord, we just say help. Lord, we know that this is something we can't do other than drawing close to you. Church, that's where it starts. It's not a knowledge thing. It's a drawing close thing and crying out to the Lord and say, Lord, transform my mind. I want to think differently. I want to think like you. I want to act like you. I want to be empowered like you. Because new covenant, it is all of it. It's like the whole smorgasbord. It's character. It's power. It's seeing the sick healed. It's seeing the dead raised. It's all of it. So Lord, we say help. Transform us. Lord, we're not waiting in the sense of waiting on our chairs. Lord, we eagerly go after. We eagerly go after the kingdom. We eagerly go after being transformed so we can do your work upon this earth, that heaven can come down, that the kingdom of heaven that is at hand can begin to manifest, that we will see people transformed. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray a blessing upon everyone here. I pray you keep them safe, healthy, and whole. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.